Good morning.
Morning.
The last time I spoke, we talked about the trial and sufferings of the believer, specifically the believer. Now I'd like to do a little bit of a contrast, and this message is entitled, Life More Abundant. And these are the words of the Lord Jesus. Well, let's get our Bibles and see what God's Word said, what He meant, and what goes along with it. I want to just warn you about one thing. It's a very convicting message. When I put this together, I saw a lot of point, this right here. You know, you're looking in the mirror and it's like, you know, right here. You know, and it convicted me a lot of things in my life. All of our lives, we've got to work on. And looking at the current events, it's close. It's coming close. But one thing this message is not, it's called Life More Abundant. It is not a healthy, wealthy, wise message like you'd hear from Joel Osteen or something like that. And it's also not a prayer of Jabez. I don't know how many know this. How many know or are familiar with that? Read that book. That book was bought for me. And although Jabez prayed a prayer and, you know, the Lord did answer his prayer, but I've seen a lot of churches and stuff by error are taking that as a name it, claim it. And here again, I just think the one boat they're missing is it the Lord's will?
Amen.
You know, because that's one thing. What I see in all this here, is this what God really wants? You need to pray. When we pray, always pray, God, if it be thy will. And that's a lot, if you look in the Bible, that's how a lot of people prayed. But with those two things out of the way, that's what the message is not. Let's get into the message, and I just encourage you and really, please request that you follow the Bible verses with me so you can internalize these things. As we go through them, just take a fold your pages back here as we go through them. Okay, the first verse is John 7:38. And it's kind of the springboard I use it for this message. It's John 7:38. The Lord Jesus' words. Jesus said, "He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow living water." Thus, the Lord Jesus described the life of the believer. If you believe and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and pretty much everybody in this room has, out of the person's inward parts or inner life would flow streams of spiritual blessing, would flow from them to others, by the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. If you don't get anything out of the message, take that little truth right out of God's Word. Now, where did I get the idea for this message? Most importantly, let's turn, while you're in John there, turn to John 10:10. John chapter 10, verse 10. Jesus is here speaking as the Good Shepherd. Now, I'm going to read this verse, and if you say, wait a minute, Don, he was talking about the Jews. Yes, when God was talking, the sheepfold was the Jewish nation. But drop down into verse 16. Guess who the other sheep were? That's us, the Gentiles. So this applies to us here. In John 10:10, Jesus here, he's saying he's the Good Shepherd. Let's pick up in 10:10. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Here we go. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Life more abundantly. God, these are Jesus Christ's words. God promises such a life to all who are believers, who have believed and received Him as Lord and Savior, to all who have this life in them. Now, while we're thinking about it, God desires this to be normal, not the exceptional life of His people. To be normal, not the exceptional life of His people. Let's go down and you say, how can this be? Watch this. What Flick back a few more pages to John 14:27. Let's go look at what's in this exceptional life. He said, what do you mean by exceptional life? Look at John 14:27. Well, these are familiar verses. A lot of you probably have these things memorized. This life carries with its blessings of peace. God says here in 14:27, this is for us believers, okay? This is, here we go. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, do I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Blessings of peace, that's one of the things. Next thing, blessings of rest. Turn over to Matthew 11:28. Here again, fold your pages back. These are all blessings that we, if you believe and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, should have every... right with us. It's right with us, just like it's in your wallet. Matthew 11:28. Real familiar. Blessings of rest. Come unto me, all you who labor and heavy laden. I will give you rest. All right? While you're there, next one, I got a whole list right here. Next one, Acts 1:8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. There's another thing in your spiritual wallet. Blessings of spiritual power. What kind of power, God? Let's see what God says. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come unto you. When you believe and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit, it's there, has come unto you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. You know, we've talked about this before. You know, we're to be witnesses. We've got it inside us to be able to tell others what happened to us. Next thing, look to Romans 6:14. 6:14. Got to take this one real slow. What's our next blessing? Jesus talked about these things. We're going through each one of them here very slowly. Romans 6:14. In this verse, it talks about deliverances from sin as master. Now, let me stop right here. Now, be very careful here. It's deliverance from sin as master over you. We still have that sin nature. You're still going to have that Adamic sin nature to the day you hit the grave. We're still going to have that into us, everything like that. But this is telling you it's not going to have rule over you in your life. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace, by God's grace. Now the question is, after we've looked at all these blessings and things that are in our everyday life as a Christian, what is the way to victory? Is it some secret formula known only to a select few? Why is the high level of spiritual life presented in the promises of our Lord, these promises we just read about, not the normal, which I've talked about before, experience of most believers today? What is needed to enjoy abundant life? However, not everyone who professes to believe in Christ enters into this fullness of God's provision. And there's a lot of, if you look in the early church, we've seen and learned it was not perfect by no means. But let's look at some of these examples in the early church. This is all we've got to go on is the Bible here. Some remain, what I'm talking about is going to be 1 Corinthians. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians. You might want to turn to that right now. We've got a lot of verses coming from there in 1 Corinthians. We're going to start in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. Let's look at the early church. What kept these people from having this abundant life? What were some of the humps and stuff they had to get over, things they were tripping over? Some remain in immaturity or spiritual infancy. And in 1 Corinthians 3:1, the Lord says, "And I, brethren, cannot speak to you as spiritual people, but as carnal, as babes in Christ." They were just young in Christ. They were not growing in the Christian Christian faith. The next one, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in the first chapter there, we're going 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11, turn back. Another example of the Church of Corinth, and this is every church, and we can talk about this today. I don't know about you, I talk to people in Cold Corral, I hear about what's going on in other churches. The Church of Corinth was troubled by quarrels. There was quarrels going amongst the people. And it tells you here in the verse here, "For it has been declared to me concerning you, brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you." There was spats going on within the church among the members here. The next thing we're talking about here is going to be in 1 Corinthians 5, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, in two verses. First in verse number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. Unfortunately, we're probably seeing it in churches today. It was by immorality. There was immorality in the church. In the first verse here, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, "It is reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and such sexual immorality is not even named among the Gentiles." Is that bad? That the Jews, if this was so bad that he said that a man has a father's wife. That's what was going wrong. Now if you look at verse 11, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11, "But now I've written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral, or covetous, or an idolater, or a reviler, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, not even eat with such a person." Okay, these are all drawbacks. Here's the next one here. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The whole chapter deals with this. I'm not going to read it. These next two, I'm not going to read it because we'd have to read the whole chapter. All right. The next problem was lack of love. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If you look in there, there was lack of love amongst the brothers and sisters in the church. Next one was church disorder. There was disorder in the church. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Not going to read it. There was church disorder and other problems in there. That's in chapter 14. So you can read it at your leisure there. The pages of both testaments frequently refer to saints who are not experiencing victory. Today, many believers go through cycles of sin and repentance. We all do. I do. I'm very convicting. I struggle with a lot of these things here as I get into this message. They long for a holy life, but do not enter into it. They may engage in much spiritual activity, but show little fruit. They may make strong resolutions that are only followed by failure. Spiritual lows are darkness. Okay, what is the way to victory? Is it some secret formula known only by a select few? Is it some high level not experienced today? Let's look at the provision. What is the provision? It's important to think of ourselves as God thinks of us. That is the new standing before Him. This rests solely upon the work of Christ. It has nothing to do with personal righteousness or labors or service. The book of Ephesians 1:3. You might want to look at this. It's Ephesians 1:3. It opens up with this statement that this is a verse to really take to heart. Again, and I start thinking of this here. I want you to really take this in right now. Two key words in here. Ephesians 1:3b, the second part of that verse. It says there, He's blessed us. Christ has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Those two words, in Christ. Let me tell you this right here. When I first got saved, I used to have Bible studies with my cousin. I told you, you've all met him. He used to sit back there with me. He's from Arizona. And when I got saved, and I heard this in Christ, and he explained to me what it is, and we're going to get into that, I just said, no, it's not me. He goes, yes, it's you. If you believe and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are in Christ. Let's get into this here. In Christ are all believers, are holy. What does this mean? we're going to really have to get your arms around this. Let's look at Colossians 1:22. Let's look at this verse. Colossians 1:22. Definitely fold this one back. This is really something I, believe me, when he finally explained to me what it was to be in Christ, I had a hard time with this. I said, not me, but we are. Okay, we're in Colossians 1:22. In Christ, all believers are holy, blameless, irreproachable, as told in that verse. We're reconciled, God's grace, we're justified, blameless in His sight. That's hard to get your arms around. But can we just thank God for that? G-R-A-C, that's what grace is, in Christ. Jesus and His finished work are the only foundation of God's provision for abundant life. 1 Corinthians 3:11, for no other foundation can anyone lay that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. That's the foundation. True. If you were to ask me, say, Don, how do we get to that level? Look here. True spirituality must begin with the recognition of this foundation. We're in Christ. Here's the pathway. We have shown what God has done by laying a foundation for abundant life through His Son's work. Through His Son's work. Yet this life is not the experience. Why not? Because man's active and continued response is required in walking the path of spiritual life. Okay? What does God want His children to do? We read about that this morning at the Lord's table, but He refers to us in the diminutive, children, or children of God. Consider the following elements. Do take these in here. And these verses also. Here's your answer. We're going to go step by step through it here. Number one, there's got to be thirst. It is important that we deeply desire to experience. We have to deeply desire an experience of a life of close fellowship with God. And I was very convicted by this, because a lot of times I get out of bed in the morning, you're thinking what you got to do and what you're going to do for that day. A lot of times we don't have that. We don't have that thirst. What do you mean, Don, thirst? Matthew 5:6. Let's look at that. Matthew 5:6. Please, let's look at these verses together. Matthew 5:6. Let's read it together. We're going to do three verses right here to learn what is the thirst that they're talking about. Very convicting to me. Change the way I stop and think sometimes here. All right, Matthew 5:6 is the first one. You know, in the Beatitudes, God said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Okay, that's Matthew 5:6. Now look at Psalm 63:1. Psalm 63:1. This psalm was General Patton's famous psalm. He would recite this a lot. This was in his memoirs. If you watched the movie, he recited this psalm before they had the Battle of the Rhine. It's Psalm 63:1, and by the way, it's one of my favorite songs, Psalms, when I got saved here. I read this when I first got saved. O God, You are my God. Early will I seek You. My soul thirsts for You. My flesh longs for You in a dry and thirsty land, where there is no water. Now, drop back a couple pages here. Look at Psalm 42:1. Here again, talking about the soul, thirst the soul. Our thirst. Where should our thirst be? Two verses here. Psalm 42:1 and 2. As a deer pants. Pants, or another word would be longs, as a deer longs for water brooks. So pants my soul for You, O God. And if you look at verse 2, again he talks about, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I appear before God? As we looked at these verses here, those who are content with a shallow ordinary spiritual lives are not seekers. They're not thirsters or yearners. Therefore, they never know or ever will have a deepening fellowship with God. And it's convicting to me. Here again, you got to stop thinking this every day. Next point. First point, thirst. Next point, recognize. Next thing we're going to talk about. Victory also requires spiritual awareness. Eternal life is in a person. Let's look at 1 John 5:12. 1 John 5:12. We ought to all have this verse embedded in us. When something, you come up to witness to somebody, this is what you got to know. There's two. Look, folks, two. You got two things. Have or have not. It's going to be yes or no, have or have not. There's no gray hairs. Watch this here. 1 John 5:12. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. You got to recognize that. God has brought believers into a union with Christ. Here again, we're going to talk about it again. We are in Christ. We're all, every one of us, if you believe and receive the Lord Jesus Christ, you're in Christ. We learn what that means in Christ. Very convicting. What God has given us, the great things He's given us. Look at Romans 16:7. Romans 16:7. We are in Christ. Again, talking about we are in Christ. What does it talk about this? We got to recognize this here. We got to learn it. Here, these are all truths in God's Word. Romans 16:7. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my countrymen and my fellow prisoners who are of the note among you apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Now, go back to your 1 Corinthians 1:30. 1 Corinthians 1:30. Talking about recognize. We got to get this thing that we're in Christ. Like I said, it's convicting. That's the whole time I'm going this message, I'm heavily convicted by this. 1 Corinthians 1:30. First Corinthians 1:30. Here again, using that term in Christ, two words here. But of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. And then, leap back a little bit to Galatians 2:20. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. We've got to recognize and realize this every day. I guess you just get wrapped around, my boss used to call it getting wrapped around your axle. Getting too caught up in things of the world and your busyness of the day. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Now let's look at Colossians 1:27. Leap over to that. This is all under the title to recognize. We've got to recognize these things. Colossians 1:27. It's not my message. It's all out of, everything's come out of God's Word right here. These are all things He's told us. They're promises to us. And we need to just, like we said, we need to recognize, we need to embrace these things. 1 Colossians 27. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. That's us. We're not Jewish. We're Gentiles. Which is Christ in you, the hope of the glory. Here again, I'm going to end this under recognize. We need to daily sense this resonant power in us. Next thing, appropriate. Appropriate. We first talked about thirst, we talked about recognition, now it's appropriate. You want to know all these things. Appropriate. This simply means to take possession, to claim for benefit what should be the claim for, what should be the claim for our benefit. We should claim His strength and sufficiency in our inner being to live unto His glory. And you know, before I talked about when this message, I said one of the things I want is not a name and claim it. If someone's preaching that, I can tell you it's being preached in some churches. I've got a lady with Samaritan's Purse. We were up in Kentucky, and she felt like she'd come to me and hug me every day, and she says, I'm not praying hard enough. She says, my preacher told us if we don't pray hard enough, God's not going to answer our prayers. And she talked so much, I didn't get a chance to get a word in edgewise, but all I wanted to tell her, I says, well, you need to pray in God's will. We need to do that. And it's like here, this name it, they teach a lot of this name it, claim it. That if you name it and claim it, then God's going to answer it. No, that's not what it's, be careful what we're talking about here. We're talking about to claim our benefit. What should we claim for our benefit? Okay, here we go. We should claim His strength and sufficiency in our inner being to live unto His glory. And let's look at Ephesians 3:16. Let's look at some God's word on this. Ephesians 3:16. Our strength and sufficiency has got to come from Him. And it's to be for His glory, not ours. Not what we want. It's what God wills. Ephesians 3:16. That He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. In Christ. Inner man. There's that word again. You have to understand the need to claim this victory that we daily lay hold of His life and power within us. And boy, it's got, oh, we pray to His, God, if it be thy will. This is what I want. So far we've done thirst, we've done recognize, appropriate, how we appropriate, and then now consecrate. And that's why I had Kenny do that song 548. Consecrate. Consecrate means to present ourselves to God for His holy purposes. Romans 12:1. Let's turn to that. Here again, a lot of us heard this verse many times from this pulpit. A lot of us probably have this from the memorized. Romans 12:1. Take my life and let it be, Lord, consecrated for Thee. I was singing that song at home. All right, consecrate. This means to present ourselves to God for His holy purposes. Romans 12:1. I beseech you, I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Oh, what a mercy of God. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Simply said, we're going to glorify God by being fully available for His purposes, be it whatever, how you serve, things you're doing for people, putting in a word for God, how we live our daily lives, working with your family. All right. Then lastly, our last one we're going to talk about is walk. What about our walk? Okay. What do you mean walk, Don? This means in Scripture, the way we live and act as we go about our daily lives. That's what the Bible's talking about in walk. There are many opportunities to get off the right path by sin. We all do that. We all are. Like I talked to before, we've got the Adamic nature, sin nature. That's in us. That's going to be with us until we hit the grave and we go to see the Lord. We do not arrive at perfect spirituality in one giant step. Let's go to 2 Peter 3:18. 2 Peter 3:18. Things do not happen fast. You don't do it boom, boom. And all these things are not very is not just 1, 2, 3, 4, we're done. No, they're all, like we said, it's going to take time and patience. All right, 2 Peter 3:18. It's going to take time to get to that perfect spirit child that God was talking about, life abundantly. Watch this. But grow, G-R-O-W, but grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is the whole story about the Christian life. We're to imitate Him. We're to be like Him. That's it. To Him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. We start each day under the direction of God's Spirit in harmony with the Word of God and looking for the Lord's will. And believe me, after I got this message, I do every morning. I get down, I pray for safety, especially out on this highway. We were just talking about that break time out here. I get out here in 4085. It's like an alligator avenue out there. Start each day under the direction of God's Spirit in harmony with the Word of God. I love that. This is my quiet time is a breakfast because my mind's sharp. I've got coffee in me and I can really, it's a good time for God to speak to us out of His Word. Look at a verse and have that verse convict you every day. If you feel spiritual abundance and victory seem to be lacking, the problem rests with us, not with God. He is not holding out on us. All these things we just read here. Here's some reasons you may not be saved. If you never believe and receive Lord Jesus Christ, all this could mean nothing to you. Not be motivated or satisfied with a low level of spiritual living. You know, I know I always want to improve myself, know more. I never can learn more. I'm always wanting to learn about the Word of God or improve my life or look at things that I do wrong and have people tell me things. Maybe something I'm doing annoying someone and I don't even realize it. Part of your personality maybe needs to change or whatever like that. But it's you know. Or here's the other thing. You may not know the things we have discussed. You may not have known the things that we just discussed this morning. I learned it when I first got saved. And here again, I had a hard time getting my arms around that. You know, when I learned about all the benefits Christ gives being in Him. You know, we're in Christ and how He looks at us, our standing with Him right now. And then the lastly here, you might be discouraged by past failures. Oh, I've had all kinds of things going on. Don't let those things, there's always, you can, just like here in 2 Peter 3:18, we can start growing. We can start, get up and say, this today I'm going to start changing things here. Lastly, here's the whole thing in a nutshell. I hope I didn't. We talked about, I'm going to go back through them again. Was it thirst? Recognize. Appropriate. Consecrate. And walk. If you put all this in a nutshell, here we go. Let the Spirit of Jesus Christ control you in growing spiritual experience. Living each day for Him. And being conscious of these things that he's blessed us with. Let's look to the Lord. Father, again, we just thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for an opportunity, Father, from out of your word that you told us how the rivers of spiritual blessing would flow out of us, Father. That I convict myself, Father, and everyone here, encourage us, Father, to just build us up. That we may have this thirst, Father, to be in your word this week, to change, to be more like you, Father. And again, Father, we just pray in all these things. Just pray for our country at this time, Father, for our leaders, of the nations, Father. We just pray for them. We know, Father, your arm is long enough, can reach anyone, Father. We just pray for them, offer them up to be thy will, Father, these people be saved. We offer these things in your name. Amen. Amen.